Have you been following the Star? Not any newspaper of that name, but this little booklet, The 12 Days of Christmas Wonder. And did you notice how each day's theme and thoughts were based around the chorus of the song, the carol we've just sung, well, two ago, We Three Kings? O Star on day one of Wonder, day two, Star of Night, Star with Royal, Beauty, Bright, Westward Leading, Still Proceeding, Guide Us to Thy Perfect Light. If you hadn't, you can go home and check that out. And then they go on. It goes on to the gifts that the wise men brought, and today, Discovery to finish. For tomorrow is the Feast of Epiphany, when the visit of the Magi, the wise men, to the Christ child is remembered. Apparently, it is just the start of Epiphany, which goes through to Candlemas, which celebrates when Jesus was presented in the temple, and that is celebrated on the 2nd of February. So all those of you who've taken down your decorations, it's actually not just the 12 days of Christmas, but it's 40 days of Christmas. Don't worry, we won't drag it out that long. But today, let's travel with the wise men as they followed the star. These magi, or wise men, were believed to study the stars, and they had seen something out of the ordinary. A bright, shining star, possibly a comet, but no one knows exactly for sure what it was. In the first century AD, there were no maps or sat-navs, and the stars were often used for navigation. And the wise men see this bright new light, they're captivated by it, and they have to find out more. So they follow this star, the work of God's hands, because they believe it will lead them to a king, and they want to worship him. It will actually lead them to the most beautiful gift they could ever imagine, a child who will bring God's light into the whole world. So the wise men set out from the east, and their journey takes them many weeks, months. Tradition has it that Jesus was probably about 2 years old by the time they found him. So no longer in the stable, probably in a small house still in Bethlehem, but the wise men don't know that yet. They're in search of a king, and so they assume that Jerusalem, the nation's capital, is the place to head for. For surely a royal palace must be the place for a king to be born. Now this got me wondering, does this mean that they stopped following the star at that point? Or were the skies overcast so it wasn't visible, and they just used their common sense as to what they were expecting? We'll never know. But knowing the devastating consequences of their visit to Jerusalem, Herod, in his rage, finding himself outwitted by the wise men, ordering the deaths of all the boys under two in and around Jerusalem, I can't believe that the star would have deliberately led them there. But they find themselves, camels and all, for they would have needed provisions for their journey, and they couldn't have walked all that way and carried them, they find themselves in Jerusalem. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews, they ask? We saw his star, the star that signalled his birth, in the east. We're on a pilgrimage to worship him, is how the Message translation puts it. Were they by now at the palace gates? Can you imagine a hush descending? No baby's been born in the palace. Whatever will King Herod think? Perhaps the people of Jerusalem know only too well what Herod will think. If he is disturbed by the news, they are equally so. They know what his temper is like. Quickly, quickly, Herod gathers together the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, the religious scholars. He gets them all together. He's heard talk of this Messiah that they are expecting. Has he arrived already? What do the Jewish scriptures say about where this Messiah is to be born? Bethlehem, Judah territory, comes back the response. As the prophet Micah had clearly written many years before, it's you, Bethlehem, in Judah's land, no longer bringing up the rear. From you will come the leader who will shepherd rule my people, my Israel. Herod thinks quickly. He must find this child. It's difficult enough trying to keep the ruling Roman forces happy and for them to allow him to continue to rule. But if somebody else is after his throne. Herod arranges a secret meeting with the wise men. And pretending to be as devout as they are, to be genuinely interested, he asks them to tell him exactly when the star appeared. And then he tells them of the prophecy and sends them off on their way, his words ringing in their ears. Go, find this child. Leave no stone unturned. Search very carefully. And as soon as you find him, send word, and I'll join you at once in your worship. Though he had no such intention. Fortunately, God journeyed with the wise men, and he appeared to them in a dream, so that they did not send word back to Herod. They went home another way. So the wise men set off again out of Jerusalem, and yes, the star appears again, the same star that has brought them this far. This time, the star takes them right to the place where Jesus is. Matthew does refer to it being a house. There is the child and his mother Mary. Perhaps Joseph was busy going about his carpentry, for he's not mentioned by name at this point. Overcome, the wise men kneel and worship the Christ child. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. And the wise men do not come empty-handed. They presented their gifts. The assumption being that as there are three gifts, there were three wise men, but we're not actually told that. And their gifts might seem rather strange things to give to a baby, but they are symbolic of the life ahead for this special child. Gold, fit for a king. Myrrh, a precious oil used to anoint the dead. Possibly one of the oils and spices that the women took to the tomb on that first Easter Sunday, planning to anoint Christ's body. Myrrh speaks of the suffering and death to come. And finally, frankincense, an incense used in worship, suitable for the Son of God, the one before whom one day every knee will bow. What are the treasures we can bring to Christ? Christina Rossetti wrote in her poem used as a carol, "What can I give him, poor as I am?" And Arch R. Wiggins wrote in another song on the same theme, "I am not a wealthy king, nought have I for offering, What can empty hands provide, O what, thou Son of God? But that's just how God wants us to come, with empty hands. If our hands are full, if we cling to the things of this life that we consider to be important, how can we be ready to receive all that God has to give us? We come to Christ, giftless, yet we give him all. We give our hearts, we give our lives, all that we are to the Lord. The wise men sought and found the Christ child. And if you want to call them kings, the three kings came and found the King of all the world. They were able to kneel and worship him. God led them to Christ, and he guided their return journey so that they did not return to Herod. And God today still continues to guide us through life. In our wanderings or the desert plain of life, through the calm and midst the strife, trust him to guide. Be ready to expect the unexpected. Christmas is God's gift to us. His love, his grace, poured out into our world. His grace abounds for each one of us. As the songsters sang, grace alone. There is nothing we can do or bring to earn God's grace, to earn God's favour and his love. Grace alone is freely given to each one of us. It doesn't matter what we're like inside or out. God's love and grace is there for each one of us nonetheless. And his grace will be there to guide us this new year. Let's turn to those words that the songster sung. It's 699 in the songbook. And let's make these words our prayer for the year ahead. You may be making promises, but every promise we make, every prayer, every step of faith is only by his grace. Let's sing the two verses through and remember that God accepts us just as we are. He pours out his grace for each one of us.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we have followed through the Christmas story. We have come with Mary and Joseph to the stable in Bethlehem. We have seen the message of Christmas given to the shepherds on the hillside. And today we have followed the star along with the wise men. And we come before you and bow and worship you. We do not know what the year ahead will hold, but we dedicate that year to you, knowing that whatever it holds, every mountain, every ray of hope, every sorrow, every tear, every soul we long to reach, every heart we hope to teach, we do it with your grace. And you pour out that love and grace upon us, upon each one of us, no matter how old we are, how young we are, what we look like, inside or out, you make no difference. Your grace is there for each one of us. Lord, as we bow before you, pour out your grace upon us. Help us to make a difference in our world this year, to share your peace where we can, to reach out to hearts that are hurting, to reach out to souls that need to know you. And we do it in your strength, because we ask these things in and through your precious name. Amen. Amen.